Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Restoration Foursquare Church audio podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For this podcast, today's teaching through our Nothing Will series through the book of Romans, this teaching today is entitled Stepping Stone or Stumbling Block. So prepare your hearts for an encouraging and challenging message from God. Enjoy and God bless.
But it is good to be back this morning. You know, a man went to the doctor and he said, "I've been misbehaving, doc, and my conscience, well, it's bothering me." And the doctor said, "So you want something that will strengthen your willpower?" He said, "No, not exactly. I was thinking of something that would weaken my conscience." Lord, help us. You know, although this is funny, it's true in the church, isn't it? Many of us are caught between traditions and preferences and what the Bible says and what it doesn't say. You know, the Apostle Paul deals with the matters of Christian conscience and personal convictions in Romans 14. We're told that we are free to hold our own convictions, but we're not free if they cause our brother to fall. You know, we're really good at this. We should not be focusing on changing others so that they're made in our image. We should not be focusing on others so that they're made in our image. Amen? Sometimes we do this to make ourselves feel better, because we're dabbling in the gray areas. I'm going to talk about that this morning. The gray areas. You know, one of the things that I love about Christianity is the uniqueness. Unity does not mean uniformity. You're not supposed to look like me, act like me, walk like me, talk like me. Because you're made in the image of God. You're supposed to walk like, act like, talk like Jehovah. Amen? Amen? Amen. Ooh, we got to be careful. Romans 14, 13 says this. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in your brother's way. Now, I'm about to show you something here that you might not know. I didn't. The verb there, can you put that up one more time? The verb there, judge, is the same Greek word translated for determine. So the verse translated ought to be this. Let us not judge one another anymore, but rather judge this. Let us not judge one another, rather judge this. Not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in our brother's way. He is saying, judge yourself. Judge your actions to determine if what you're doing is a stumbling block or a hindrance to the person next to you. Don't judge them, judge you. Just making it plain. It's what he said. Judge yourself. That verse has wrecked me. Let us not judge one another anymore, but rather judge this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in your brother's way. Recently, our Foursquare pastor posted this, Foursquare president, God called us to love the world and judge ourselves, but we've judged the world and loved ourselves. Do you need to hear that one more time? God called us to love the world and judge ourselves, but what we've done is we've judged the world and loved ourselves. I believe it's time to wake up to those that are around us. The people that look like they have it all together are the ones in desperate need for your help. I find that the ones that look like life is good with a bow on it are the ones that are hanging on with white knuckles. Sometimes pride keeps us from asking for help. You know, if we become preoccupied with our business as we are with other people's business, we'd be really spiritual, wouldn't we? My mother used to say, tend to your knitting. I don't know what that means, but I think it applies right there. Do you remember a few weeks ago, the last time I talked, I was telling you about my garden. Do you remember that? I was telling you about my little garden. Well, we planted tomatoes and squash and cucumbers and radishes, and I have flowers in containers around the front door and flowers in containers around the garage, and I love flowers. And I was watering the flowers one afternoon, and Jay was out back watering the garden, our little garden, watering the garden. And, you know, I sat down and I thought, these are the most gorgeous red and purple blooms I've ever laid my eyes on. I don't remember flowers being so vibrant. And I don't know if it's because I'm on sabbatical and I could slow down, but I just sat there and I'm thinking, why have I never noticed this? It's the same kind I plant every year out front. Never noticed them. Well, the next morning I got up and I was going to, I made my coffee and I walked out the front door and I was so excited. And I sat down and I was just going to pray and just have a little conversation with Jesus. And I looked down. There was not a stem, there was not a bloom. They had been mowed down right at the dirt. When I tell you my flowers were gone, I don't mean somebody took them. I mean something came and mowed them off at the dirt. There was nothing left. That's what I thought. So I walked out back to the garden and I'm not happy. I had just nurtured them the night before. So I walk out back to the garden and I'm just saying, I really can't believe this happened. I walk out to the garden, the carrots, the peppers, the squash, the tomatoes, everything is gone. Everything's gone, mowed down at the dirt. There was full life and full bloom just a few hours before. Gone. Let us not judge one another anymore, but rather judge this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. The word here for obstacle is proskama. It's referring to something in the road that might cause you to trip. Proskama. Now, this obstacle in the road might cause you to stumble, but it also might cause you to take a permanent detour. It's not just tripping you up. It could cause you to take a permanent detour. Not just a setback. So we're told not to put an obstacle, and then we're told not to put a stumbling block. The Greek word for stumbling block is skandalon. We get our English word scandal from that. Let me tell you something about that. The word scandalon literally refers to the triggering mechanism in a baited trap. Have you ever noticed things can be enticing to you when you can't touch them? When you know you're not supposed to be doing things, calling her, texting her, you're more enticed by that because she don't belong to you. Is that okay? You're enticed. You're drawn, you're pulled to what you're not supposed to put your hands on. Have you ever noticed little children? You'll say, you better not. And you turn around and they've done it. Why? Because you said don't. There's boundaries and don't you do it. It's the same thing with us. It's the same thing to us. I don't know why when somebody tells us no, you just got to push the limit. You just got to get up close, right under the radar, don't we? Right under the radar. How close can we get? I can't tell you how many times people have said this to me. Well, I want to be a Christian, but can I still? But can I? Am I still gonna? Huh. There's something about enticement. Getting so close. You get up against that door, you push, you shove, and you're thinking, if I could just get my hand on that. And you get just close enough, and then the jaws slam on your hand. Scandalon. Stumbling block. Let me tell you what happens when that jaw snaps shut. Jay and I were pulling into the driveway, and there they were. Three rabbits running out of the garden and across the backyard, right there, busted the same day that they stole them. The same day. Well, let me tell you something. After today, let me just tell you something. After today, because see, I'm going to use this so it's fresh first, but after today, let me show you what happens. Once you get in the trap, you've made that choice where you know you shouldn't have gone, but you did it anyway. Now, I'm talking about you. I'm not even talking about your brother right now. But once you made that decision and you made that choice, and now you are in the trap. Well, let me tell you something. You ain't getting out. You ain't getting out until somebody lets you out. You ain't getting out. Why? Because you can't. Once you're in there, you're trapped, and you're not getting out until he.
Amen. Amen.
Until he opens the door so you can walk out. Do you see how important it is, your choices? Do you understand that I can make a decision? I can literally bait this trap for your ruin.
Come on, woman.
If I wanted to, let me just tell you something. We all have the ability.
Come on.
It's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. Verse 14 says this. I know and I am convinced in the Lord Jesus that anything or nothing, let me say that again. I know and am convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean, but to him who thinks it to be unclean, then it is unclean. Friends, coffee beans are not evil. I had to. Cocoa plants. They're not meant for your destruction.
Come on.
Guns and knives, I need you to hear me, are not wicked. And sex is not impure. Now, these things that I just described to you in and of themselves are not evil, wicked, bad, and impure. But it's what you do with it that shifts it.
Come on.
Hmm. Some things are wrong for you, but they're not wrong for me. Some things are wrong for me that aren't wrong for you.
Come on.
Pastor Huey talked about that last week. I'm not getting into that this week, but I'm telling you, if you miss that, you need to go get that.
Come on.
Because it's all connected.
Amen.
It's all connected. Verse 15 says, "For if because of food your brother is hurt, and you are no longer walking in love." Okay, now what? "For if because of food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking in love." Love builds up, it doesn't tear you down. Did you hear me? Sometimes we need to take a look at our relationships, and I'm not going there, but I'm just going to throw that out there. It better empower, encourage, hold you up. It better not be tearing you down. Because if it is, something needs to be checked. Call for some counseling. Okay. Paul's point is that these liberties that we're talking about, they're of no real benefit. They're fluff. There's no eternal benefit in them. Just because he allows you to drink wine and he doesn't me, there's no eternal benefit in that. It's not tied to my salvation. It's fluff. It's liberty. It's freedoms that we each have. There is no eternal benefit in it. So don't get tied up over that. Don't get confused. Don't divide yourself over the insignificant things that we're talking about. But if they cause me to stumble. So the real issue here is love. Do we love each other more than we love that freedom? Do you love me more than you love that glass of wine when he's told me not to? When we go out to dinner, are you going to order that drink anyway? Maybe I want one, but I'm not allowed to have one. You going to do that to me?
Come on.
That's what it says. I'm not making it up. It is what it says. We got to get our priorities in order. The core of Christianity is not about whether we drink wine or we don't drink wine, whether we eat ribeye or we don't, we eat shellfish or we don't. It's not about any of that. That's fluff. Amen? I'm talking about eternal stuff. I don't want your fluff hurting my eternal stuff. Have you ever noticed that real peace comes in the midnight hours? When he shows up and he turns your mess around. Do you know what I'm talking about? Let me tell you, there's a peace right there that there ain't nothing you could tell me that would drop a peace on me like that.
Amen.
When he shows up in the midnight hour, if he tells you no, then it's a no.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what I say. Oh, what? It doesn't matter what Pastor Huey says about drinking. What did he say to you?
Come on. Come on.
Oh.
Come on.
Wow. A few weeks ago, Jay and I were in Minnesota watching Benjamin play baseball, and we took him to lunch, and he said, "Well, we had a conversation about you, the guys and I did after the game last night." I'm like, "Oops. Did I yell too loud? What happened?" He said, "No, somewhere in the conversation, I just made a comment. They asked me about my parents, and I just made a comment that you were a pastor. And my catcher said, 'Oh, great day. Just great.'" Ouch. And then he continued with this: "How do you feel about that?" Oops. And Benjamin just looks at him and he said, "How on earth do you live by all those rules?" You see, he didn't want what Benji was packing because he had been told what all the rules were and he knew he couldn't live up to it. Anybody ever lay those rules out there for you? You know what I'm talking about. Heaven forbid if the pastor showed up in a pair of jeans. Y'all enjoy that one too much. My son answered with this. Boy, I tell you, you better be a truth teller. He said, you know what? It's about relationship. It's not about the rules. It's not about what you can't do. It's about what you get to do. And you get to be in a relationship with the creator of your soul. He'll take care of the fluff. Amen?
Amen.
Is that okay? Verse 19 says, so then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up or the upbuilding of one another. Now that word there, pursue, is this. It is a picture of a hunter chasing after his prey or a runner sprinting to the finish line. Really? Let me read that again. So then we pursue the things which make for peace. Huh. The word upbuilding or building up is a construction term. And it describes the process of building something stronger. So wait a minute. So what you're saying to me is that we should be chasing after with everything that we have, with reckless abandonment, to build each other up and to bring peace? Yes, that is what I'm saying. If you're in conflict with someone, and it might just be about these negotiables I'm talking about this morning. Sometimes we allow negotiables to divide us in the church. His word says that I should be running towards you with reckless abandonment, fixing that tension that you and I have. I should be running like I'm about to win the Olympics. Oh, we got to fix this, Baron. It's what it says. So I ask, are you doing that? Are we doing that? Are we really selfless? Because that's what that is. Are we doing everything that we can to bring about peace? Can I tell you that if we were eating dinner and I had just completed the 12-step program because maybe I had an issue with alcohol? Don't go out of here saying I did, because I don't. And I never have. But just say I did. And you know what? Some of us have. I'm just saying, don't take that and twist that around. Okay. Maybe I just went through that 12-step program. And maybe you don't know it. And you just sat down to pizza and ordered 3 beers. Ordered you a beer and the, what is that? What? The pitcher? Maybe you did. And you got me a glass too. Let me tell you what, there's no peace in that circumstance.
Amen.
You're not running towards me because you know why? You don't even know what my issue is. Why do you not know what my issue is? Sometimes it's because we're so busy looking at our own. You haven't noticed that I haven't been here in 16 weeks. You haven't even noticed. The scripture tells us, do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food, for the sake of wine, for the sake of dancing, for the sake of meat. In other words, don't allow negotiables to be the stumbling block. Let's say we are sitting at Christ's table because you see we've each been invited. Now, how terribly rude would it be for me to start judging what you're eating, what you're drinking? Surely you're not going to. How terribly rude would it be when I question your shellfish? When we've both been invited to the table. you don't get to choose the guest list.
Come on.
Huh. Maybe you only want to be around the people that can, I don't know why I keep going to this, but maybe you want to be around the people that can have pizza and beer with you. You don't get to choose that. I was recently asked to speak at a church, neighboring city, and we pulled up and went in, and you know, you can just tell by somebody's face, you're like, what did that mean? Well, the pastor looked at me like, whew. I'm like, what did he think? It was going to be a no-show? You know, like he looked at me like, complete relief. And I'm thinking, what on earth? Has he heard something? No. He got my husband to the corner and he said, whew, this broke me. He said, the last female evangelist that we had come was wearing so little clothes that the congregation couldn't hear the message, the word of God that she was trying to deliver. Ladies, cover that up.
I know that's right. Come on.
Cover it up. Do not be setting a trap for someone else's destruction. Cover it up. I can say that because I am one. Yesterday, one of my spiritual daughters was in a wedding. And let me just say this. What? Cover it up. Have some respect for your husband, would you? I'll say that for you guys, because I can. And I saw those dresses those girls had on, and my spiritual daughter was in it. Well, let me just tell you what I did. I took out my phone, made it bigger. And my spiritual daughter had a safety shirt on. Do you know what a safety shirt is? Let me tell you what it is. It's one of these.
Amen.
It's when your shirt is too low, put a safety shirt on.
Amen.
Do not set a trap for someone else's destruction.
Amen.
Y'all still love me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Woo, it's hot in here. Last thing I'm going to say about that. If you get up in the morning, I'm sorry, this is just for ladies for some reason, and you don't know if it's okay, don't.
Come on.
Just don't. Because you don't know what that coworker sitting right next to you is struggling with.
Amen.
Don't you set a trap. Our liberties must be hemmed in by love.
Amen.
Oh, I'm about to go there. What time is it, Greg? What time is it? I can't even see the blue. Okay. Tell me when to stop. Okay. Because we're going everywhere. Okay. Liberty must be hemmed in by love. Whoo! Liberty must be hemmed in by love. We're given this word of caution at the end of the chapter. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, but from whatever, watch this, and whatever is not from faith is sin. If you have, one more time, But he who doubts is condemned if he eats it. Whew. Because his eating is not from faith. And whatever is not from faith, it is sin. If you have any doubt concerning something you're doing, you can automatically remove it from the actions acceptable. If you have a question about it, remove it from the acceptable category, because it's not. If it is a gray area, I didn't make this up. He said, if it is a gray area, it is sin. Gray areas. Listen, you have to know. You have to have faith in knowing that you know in your knower what he said. That's how you know it's not gray. And if he doesn't respond, don't you move until he does. I'm telling you, you're teetering. You better wait. You'll thank me later. These convictions or persuasions that we're talking about, they're not feelings. They're not. These are rooted in the mind, not in the emotion. Let me prove it to you. Let each man be fully convinced in his own mind. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter how you feel. It's not about that. It's down in here. What is he saying to your soul? It's not about, well, I feel like it's all right. No, if you feel like it's all right, you better say no. Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers of the 19th century, he ruffled a lot of feathers in his day with Christians by his lifestyle choices. Compared to today, you see, he liked to smoke cigars. And compared to today, he didn't really realize the problem with nicotine and tobacco. He didn't understand all of that. Maybe it would have changed. But this one particular day, a young guy walked up to him and he said, Pastor, somebody gave me, he was a young college kid, somebody gave me this box of cigars. What should I do with them? And he snatched them out of his hand and he said, give them to me. I'm going to smoke them to the glory of God. What? He did. I didn't. He did. Well, it was a few years later. He's walking. I pictured Bridge Street. I don't know why. He's walking down Bridge Street, and in the window at the cigar shop over there, y'all know where I'm talking about? There was a sign, and it said, we sell Spurgeon's cigars. It stopped him in his tracks because he'd crossed the line. His freedom could very likely cause someone else to stumble. I have some friends that are going to help me with a demonstration this morning. And can I get some tissue really quick from somebody? Come on, guys. The Lord gave me this visual, and I'm gonna need them. One more. The Lord gave me this visual. Really close. Circle, there we go. Our liberties must be hemmed in by love. While freedom is a right, it is not a guide for our conduct. Love is. Rights must be laid aside in the interest of love. We're to live in harmony with one another. We're instructed to intercede for one another, to care for one another, to minister to the needs of one another. We should be sharing the burdens of one another. We should be encouraging and admonishing each other. We should be nurturing those who are new and weak in the faith. You see, this Christian life, it's not merely an individual struggle for perfection. It is meant to be a community project. We must not break down unity for the sake of liberty. I remind you that unity does not mean uniformity. These friends that are before me, God showed me their faces. Some of you have been through tremendous circumstances and battles and dark times with my family. The others of you, I have trusted you. I do trust you. I know that you love me, and I know that you would never set a trap for me. I know that. The reason I have them looking at me is because I know that your life, you would never cause me to fall. Because the decisions that you make concern me. Why? Because you're close to me. And you would never do that to me. I want you to look at it from a different perspective. Our lives, our actions, and our words have the power to be a stepping stone or to be a stumbling block away from Him or towards Him. It is an assignment that He has trusted to us. He knew that love would be our greatest tool. He purposed that the relationship within Him would spill over into the relationships with others. The eyes and the posture of those looking at you right now, they are representative of the love that I have for you. These bodies, these bodyguards, if you will, are love that I have for you. I represent the liberty. Do you see I'm completely hemmed in by love? When I look at you, God intends for me to look at you through these here. My liberty will never hamper you as long as I'm looking at you through this barrier. With liberty comes great responsibility. Liberty, every single time. Can you see my hand? It better take a back seat every single time when you make a choice. Why? Because it's what He says. I'm not free to do whatever I want to do. Love better be my barrier. It better be my guard. And when I look at you, I pray that you will look at me the same way. Thank you, guys. The Lord gave me that visual and it has completely wrecked me. The freedom that we get, it has to take a back seat. You gotta love me enough to allow love to go before you with your actions. The main point of Paul's teaching is that every Christian is free to hold his convictions on matters of liberty. Eat, drink, dance, smoke, food, I'm just gonna say it, movies. But we're not free to exercise them if it's gonna cost your brother to fall.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church audio podcast. We hope you were encouraged and empowered by today's message. If God has touched and impacted your life, we want to hear your story. So please take a few minutes out of your day and email us your testimony at amen@r4sq.org. We pray you have a great and blessed week. Enjoy your week. And God bless.